And then I looked to my right and I saw these cleats that are Adidas, but nope, it doesn't exist. And it was David Beckham with his white and gold cleats.
Hello, and welcome to the Kick It With Katie podcast.
Today, I have Yura Movsisian, and for those of you that don't know him, he is a former MLS player. He's played internationally. He is a dual citizen with American and Armenian citizenship, and I got to know him because his oldest son, Arman, played a little bit with my son here in Salt Lake when he played for Real Salt Lake. One of the times that he was here, he helped our Real Salt Lake win the MLS Cup back in 2009. He's got his ring on. And so Yura, thank you so much for joining me today. So what I would love for you to do, for those people that might not be familiar with you, give us a little bit of a background of yourself as a youth player, because I bet a lot of people don't really know a lot about your youth career. I'm sure some people are familiar with your professional career, at least throughout MLS, but why don't you go ahead and give us a little background on young Yura Movsisian.
Well, thanks for having me, Katie. It's nice. I love I love what you do, let me put it this way. Yes, because we need more of information put out there for kids, for our youth, you know. Well, my name is Yura Movsisian, you know. I'm an Armenian American. I came to this country when I was 12 years old. And being an Armenian, you know, playing soccer in Armenia, it wasn't really organized. It's a war-torn country. So, you don't really get that youth there. You don't really get that organized soccer, especially back then. But when I got to the U.S., I was about 12 years old, and I started the youth process here, the youth system. I went into the youth system, and to me, you know, culturally, being here, coming to America, and not knowing English, it was definitely a culture shock. But as a kid, everybody knows, as a kid, you know, you learn quick. And being in a soccer environment, being on soccer teams, to be honest with you, teaches you everything from, you know, discipline, respect. I don't remember my parents teaching me how to hold a fork or, you know, simple things that becomes part of your lifestyle. That becomes your life. That's where you learn things, you know, camaraderie, friendship, how to talk to people, how to respect people, who to respect, you know, and the goods and the bads, life lessons, just in general. And being here and being a non-American and not knowing English was definitely a challenge, you know. And I always say, you know, and I tell the story, we used to have, you know, coaches, professionals come and talk to, you know, the teams, just like I do now. I go and talk to kids, you know, and coaches, you know, the people would ask, what do you want to become when you get older? You know, and I was literally the only kid who could barely speak English that would say, I want to become a professional soccer player at 12 years old. I only had one mission. To me, it was, you know, from the bottom up, basically. I had no other, you know, I went to school, you know, being, just learning English, it's tough, you know, so like I had to go to the ESL classes, I had to do the school thing, but my focus was definitely, you know, and I always say this as well, there's no stupid soccer players. Mm-hmm. Let me put it this way, okay? So school is where you as well learn everything, you know. And definitely tough, definitely a struggle, but that's what life is about, you know, the struggles. That's where you learn, that's where you, you know, learn how to exist on earth. And, you know, being in a new culture, being in a new environment, and that's why I always say as well, America's the best country in this world. This is I've lived in different countries, and I know that this is the best country in the world. And, you know, I take offense to people that are complaining about America, you know, that have it so easy, have it, we have everything here. And, you know, being an immigrant kid, it's very challenging, but it also tells you, it also teaches you to adapt. It teaches you to adapt. It teaches you to figure out ways, to figure your ways, to learn. To you have to. I had to basically mold into the system, and I had to learn. You know, respect what this country gave me, respect the culture, respect every blessing that's been given to us, and we're all blessed here, you know. And God puts us on earth for reasons, for our mission. And my mission, you know, early on was to become a soccer player, to be able to learn, get the lived experience, have the experience of a pro player. But I truly believe that my mission is now. All of that, you know, God gave me all these, you know, experiences becoming, you know, Yoram Avsisian, the professional soccer player, winning MLS Cup with Salt Lake, you know, was a life dream. But now I understand that that was a tool for me to do what I'm going to do today. What I started doing, you know, I have my mentorship program, I mentor kids. I have my, you know, club that I opened, Lions United FC, that is I'm starting from bottom, top down, basically. It's the semi-professional team. In soccer in America, there's a big gap. There's a big gap between high school and professional. When kids, you know, they get to 16, 17, 18-year-olds, and that's where they... There's no quality of there's no platform for them to really, you know, take the next step. And my program today is exactly specified for that
gap
age group, for that gap exactly, because there's a lot of soccer clubs out there. You know, youth soccer, America's number one sport. Everybody knows that. You know, and there's so many kids that are coming up and don't have the opportunity to have a place to play after high school, after they finish their club career. What do? College, you know, it's tough to get into colleges. It's there's so many struggles that I realized. I was lucky enough, you know, as a 18-year-old. I went straight professional. I was drafted fourth overall to MLS in the first round. But at the same time, you know, I was lucky. But there's thousands of kids that are not lucky. And my mission today is to help those that, you know, don't have the opportunities to go to the best schools, don't have the opportunities to be seen, to be given, you know. Started a project. I have a app, a website for. It's called FootHunters.com as well, and it's a startup for exactly for that specific gap of kids. You know, it's an online platform where they get to post their videos, they get to post their, you know, they get to. It's social media, but for soccer fanatics. Yeah, it's social media where they get to put their information in there, and, you know, coaches, scouts, high school coaches, college coaches, any scout, professional, they can go into that platform and look for, you know, players for their high schools, for their colleges, for their club teams. They can find clubs there, you know, organize tryouts. So, like, I've started to, you know, tackle different issues that I believe that lacks in our system today, in the soccer world system. And I stick to my professional. I'm a soccer player. I was a soccer player. So, like, you know, I'm trying to do my part in giving a platform to, you know, young adults to be able to showcase themselves, because not many of them get as lucky as I did. And that was a blessing, and maybe that was the reason, that was one of the reasons why God blessed me to go pro at that age, to be able to understand that not everybody's gonna get lucky like that. And so, yeah, that's kind of a sum up of what I do today. Is the youth club, you know, is the semi-professional, and Lions United plays in NPSL, National Premier League. It's fourth division in America, so if MLS is first, you know, you got USL Championship, and then you got NISA, USL 2, and then it's NPSL. So we're fourth, we're semi-professional, and my goal is next year to go pro, the club pro. And, trying to do my part.
It's definitely... I mean, I've seen people try and do what you're doing, and they're not able to fully go all the way with what they want to try and accomplish. But you obviously having that knowledge from having been in those programs and probably having contacts for people that you can reach out to that you know, probably in different organizations that can point you in the right directions and kind of help you with that. That's awesome. So with your club Lions, are you going to be, so you have like a men's team, and then are you going to try and tier that down to youth programs eventually?
Oh yeah. You know, I'm not in this for the money. Mm-hmm. Let me put it this way. And when you're talking about people try to do it, it's because it's a money grab everywhere. And my job is to get rid of those people, okay? My job is to get rid of people that bet on kids' futures, kids' dreams, families' dreams, you know? And my mentorship program is exactly for, you know, that reason as well, is to be able to mentor kids, to be able to tell the parents and not sell false dreams.
Because there's a
you know, a lot of youth system.
And it's really, I've said it before, it's really disheartening. And the only people that get hurt in the long run are the kids, if it's supposed to be for the kids. And so, I mean, I've seen it, I'm seeing it now, and it's really hard. Because you can't do anything about it, because you can only control what you can control. But people like you that are providing legitimate opportunities for kids and actually providing that structure and the right stuff basically to help them try and succeed on whatever their goal may be. And like you were saying earlier, you know, soccer is just more about is more about creating a person as a whole and giving them those life lessons, like overcoming adversities and trials and teaching them discipline in certain things, like you were saying. And some people are missing that aspect of it because they're just wanting, you know, instant gratification for something. That's not how life is.
It is.
Don't shortchange your kids.
No,
don't
shortchange
your kids. You know, your kids have to struggle in order to, I mean, and that's a big thing, is like knowing how terrible something could be. Like, you come from, you know, Armenia, and you've seen that war-torn country, and then being able to come to America and being able to see, you know, the differences, and being able to celebrate those differences and knowing the struggles of, you know, people, in order to, like, it's kind of like one of those things where, like, you have to go through something bad in order to celebrate something so good. And a lot of people are not giving their kids that opportunity to, I don't want to say suffer, but suffer so that they can feel that extreme joy. Like, if, you know, some kids,
exactly,
and there are some teams and clubs and things that just have an amazing program, and maybe their team is really just that good, and they, you know, don't lose very often, and that is
Yeah, but how many of them are there? It's very
rare if that happens. I mean, you even watch professional teams that have an off day and they lose, you know, 2-0, 3-0. Like, yeah.
They have to lose. I always tell, you know, with the mentorship program, the biggest reason why I started that is because, you know, especially in my community here, okay, it's really sad that I was one of the very, very few that made it professional. And we have thousands of kids playing. And this is a sad, for me, it's very sad because, you know, there's many reasons, you know, and I always, you know, when I talk about why was I one of the very few that made it professional and stayed a professional, you know? And it's a psychological thing that it starts from the parents, because the parents, you know, they always think that they have to, and it's because of their ego, bottom line, okay? It's because of their ego, because they want to have something to brag about. You know, after a Saturday game, on Sunday when they're having barbecue, they want to have something to brag about that my kid scored a goal, my kid won. They don't understand that the kid, you know, he scored, but you got to lose to learn. Let's not forget, okay? You got to struggle to learn. You know, we're too afraid of, you know, we're not owners of our kids. Let's not forget that. You know, being a parent is not being an owner of a kid. You don't own the kid. It's your kid, but it's not, you know, we have to understand, and this is something I struggle with a lot. You know, when I talk to parents, when I always tell them, everybody gives me that, you know, that look. I tell them, let your kid struggle. Why? Well, let him figure it out. Because we're preparing our kids, you know, the youth system, the sports, we're preparing our kids to become people, to become, you know, strong enough to be able to live their lives. You know, when the kid doesn't struggle, you know, everybody's so like, you know, I learned that with my son, okay, that we did everything for him. He didn't want to think for himself. You know, can I do this? Can I do that? Like, can I go to the bathroom? If I say no, what are you going to do? You know, it's the bottom line is, we're too. And I also understand that, you know, it's our fault, but it's also, you know, we didn't know better. Let's put it this way. Yes, we wanted to give our kids the computers, the iPads, the iPhones, the everything. And now we're complaining, oh, they're stuck on computers. Well, we gave it to them, and when they spend time with them, what do you expect from us? You know, what do you expect from the kid when we actually made him get stuck on a computer, and then we're complaining, oh, he doesn't have manners, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that. You know, to me, that's a big problem. And even today's society, you know, that is a big problem, that we complain about our kids, or we complain about every other kid, but we have the same thing at our houses. So I think as parents, as people, we have to also learn. We have to adapt. We have to understand that, listen, let's hold our hand first. Let's hold up our hand first and say, yes, you know, we did that, but we need to learn from it. You know, we can't blame our kids. Today's youth, and, you know, when I'm working with kids, there's too much pressure on them from the parents' side that don't have any idea what soccer is. You know, everybody is a master at soccer. Every parent, you know, and they take the kid from here to there. And then they don't win here, they take him from here to another place. It's like it's like a shopping cart, you know, you put him in the, come on. They need to understand that there's a purpose why people go through the struggles. There's a purpose why the kid has to sit on the bench. If he's on the bench, he needs to sit on the bench. He can't feel that oh, daddy or mommy will protect him. Daddy will go and, you know, tell the coach, why is my kid not? Well, let him. Maybe he deserves to be on the bench.
I mean, I had a parent, you understand? After a game in the fall for a team that I took over last year, that I changed my starting lineup because I was rotating their like 10-year-olds, and I put a couple different people in to start the game that hadn't started yet, and one of the parents after the game came up and asked why their daughter didn't start the game. Like, did she do something wrong? And I was like, no, I just had somebody else start. Like, it wasn't a big deal, like, to me. Like, and I can understand where, you know, maybe they were concerned that, you know, their player had done something or whatever, or maybe I was punishing her, like if she had missed a practice. I'm not that type of coach. I was just giving somebody else an opportunity to start and seeing how that worked. Like, it wasn't a slight at the kid. Yeah,
personal decision. And it's something that, see, this is a perfect example for me, okay? Because first, the coaches need to be educated, okay? The parents as well need to be educated. I think that's what's lacking in soccer, in American soccer today, is because everybody thinks just because they're paid for it, you know, they're supposed to dictate. No, buddy, you don't dictate. You don't. And it starts with the coaches. And that's what, you know, I try to do as much as possible from my experiences is first we need to educate the coaches, the psychological people need to understand psychologically kids' development. How do you develop a kid? You know, for me, from 7 to 10 years old, the kid is not, or 7 to 9 years old, the kid is not supposed to understand that he's learning.
Yeah,
he's supposed to have fun. Please, somebody, and people, you know, I know people will disagree with me, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, I don't care because I want people to understand. Go to a soccer field today and look. If you see somebody smiling, I'm wrong. If you see a kid playing soccer and if you see anyone that smiles on the field, then yes, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Please.
Yeah.
Try it next time. And let me know if anybody's... No kid is smiling.
Yeah.
It's because... The pressure, not only we are, as parents, we need to understand, if we're taking them to a coach, okay, if we trust our kids to go to that club, okay, please let them do their job. And, you know, it's a sad truth, but as well, we have to have coaches that are actual coaches, mm-hmm. that study the game, and not just plumbers that come and just do the job. You know, and that's one of the biggest problems with, I believe, in youth soccer in America, is because it's a money grab. And they don't, you know, when the clubs have responsibilities, you're talking about kids' futures, man. I don't care what you, go, you know, there's a lot of other ways you can make money, but not on kids' dreams. And that's where my disappointment comes, where I realize that, you know, so many kids' dreams are false promises, you know, and so many people struggle. Why do we have drug issues today in society? Look at the percentage, it's because of false, I'm talking about soccer and I'm talking about being an athlete. You know, I stay in my lane. You know, and when I talk about something, it's about my lane, my soccer, you know, I'm talking about it as an athlete, my experiences. Everything I talk about is about my experience, not anything else, you know, and it's my opinion. People can like it, people can't, you know. So I think a lot of different, you know, aspects of this life, you know, not letting your kids struggle a little bit, you know, having the safety net of mom will come and say something. Dad will come and say something. Let the kid sit on the bench. Let him or her figure out a way. And that's also development, yes? You know, as a 10-year-old, the kid shouldn't feel any pressure of playing soccer. You know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, once they get to their teen years, then you can put expectations on them. But let them figure out their ways. Believe me, this world, this life is tough. It's a struggle, you know, but it's a great life. It's a blessing that we're all, you know, healthy. People that are living, it's a blessing. Let's look at the blessing. Count your blessings, not stop complaining about things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, We always want results, results. We put everything, today's society is all about results. You know, it's like, you know, take a breather and just look at what you have next to you. Look at, you know, look at the blessing. Count your blessings. Stop complaining about everything that's happening. You know, that doesn't, has nothing to do with you. But you forget, you know, you forget the, what's real, what's important. And, you know, I know that this is going to too many different aspects of things. But, you know, I think it's time for people like myself to speak out, to actually get to work. Try to change something. Try to do something. You know, guys that have played soccer, guys that have, you know, experience, it's time for them not to be afraid. Everybody's so afraid of making mistakes today. But you got to make a mistake to learn from the mistake. You know, and I even tell the coaches, listen, don't be afraid of, if you truly believe in a system, stick to it. Stick to it, because you're going to be the mirror from the kid, you know, is going to learn from you. You're the role model. And we have parents that, you know, go to games and start screaming to their kid. You're actually doing a disadvantage to the kid. The kid can do one thing at a time for now. You know, make sure you just tell them, enjoy, have fun, you know, let them enjoy the game. Let them enjoy the process.
One of the common things that several people have mentioned on here, you know, is, you know, as a parent, your kid wants to see you on the sideline cheering them on, not coaching them. I mean, like, I'm a coach. Justice is a coach. We're both coaches.
Yeah, that's
but
a real issue.
We also, like, it's really funny when we talk to certain people, like, that don't know that we're the parent of, like, a kid on the team.
Yeah, they get surprised. Why don't you talk?
And they also don't understand, like, because I coach one of my daughters. There was a parent, I've mentioned this before, that didn't know that she was my daughter. Like, we don't look anything alike, really, but she would always, you know, come with me after games and stuff, and he just thought that I was, like, chauffeuring her around, and I'm like, no, she's my daughter. And he was literally surprised because... you know, we've told our kids, like, if we're coaching you, we're coach or Katie or Justice or whatever, like, we're not mom or dad.
That's it.
And it's been harder with my twins because they'll both like, but you're my mom. And I'm like, but not right now, you know. And the other kids, they're used to it. But, you know, we try and make sure that, like, when we're doing that, that we don't want there to be blurred lines. We don't want people to think that we're doing any favoritism or anything like that. We don't want there to be a disservice of any kind. Like, we're treating everybody equal. And a lot of times people, when they look at the way that he and I coach our kids, they are often kind of surprised because we're able to do that. I mean, Justice has been doing it a lot longer than me, so it's really easy for him.
Yeah.
And girls are a whole other ball of wax anyway, and so it is slightly different for me, but I've been able to do it and been doing it for a couple of years now with our older daughter. But it's definitely been interesting to also see, like, when I go watch my sons play, you know, I have to hold back on, like, talking on the sidelines, like, saying, you know, trying to coach or whatever. I do help out with one of our son's team. I'm the assistant coach for that team, so obviously sometimes I do have to coach, but for the most part I try, but
when you're on the sideline,
I try and, you know, just enjoy being there. I mean, Colin is a goalkeeper, so that is a whole other stress ball in itself, but just being there to help watch our kids and enjoy them playing is something that we both like to be able to enjoy. And then being able to see people like yourself, or we had Mike Petke, Tyrone Marshall, and their kids, even Javi Morales, like, his son played for a team that played with Sparta before they ended up moving Santi. And knowing like, these professional people can be on the sideline of a game and just enjoy watching their kids play. They're not coaching from the sideline. They're not coming over and yelling at the coaches, but they're just there to enjoy the game, watch the game, and then they leave. You know, they come, when they can, they're there, their kids know that they're there, and they're fully supportive. Like, they know what they should
do. Our kids feel the pressure.
Yeah. I mean, and
our kids feel so much pressure.
And so we just need to be able to be their supporter.
It's not real how big the pressure
and
is.
So, I mean, my parents weren't professional soccer players in any way, but I feel like even when you were there for Armand, like when he was here in Utah for, you know, I felt like you were a very supportive parent to him. Like, you weren't trying to overstep your bounds in any way, that you were trying to let the process with Nick and the team happen the way that it needed to. And like, if Nick wanted your opinion, he would probably ask you, like, but he
would come to me.
Yeah, and it wasn't like a you were going to him type of a thing. And so it was very respectful, and I think a lot of people need to remember that. Like, even, I mean, I've heard other professionals on other podcasts say the same things. Like, you know, just let the coaches do the coaching, and you be the parent and be the supporter, because, you know, you want to have that lasting impression with your kid on the sideline that you were their number one supporter and that you weren't trying to coach them from the sideline. Yes. You don't want to be remembered as the parent that was crazy yelling on the sideline. I mean, I personally have my own, just from being a coach, having horrible experiences with situations with parents that were definitely overstepping. And it was crazy. I mean, it's not a good sight.
I could tell you from my experience, it's crazy that as parents, that's why I say we need to educate the coaches, the parents as well, the clubs. That's a club's responsibility to educate, to put guidelines, to put laws in there, let the coach be the coach. If you're hiring a coach, teach him how to do it. Teach it, you know, like, help him, support him. The coach should only be worried about the field, the kids, the players, you know. And that's the club's responsibility to provide people that are going to make sure that there's nobody smoking right next to the field. Nobody's screaming, you know, from there. It's the club's responsibility, bottom line. But at the same time, my experience with my son, and my son is, you know, he's 14 now. I have my two daughters that are 11 and 7. Both of them are gymnasts. Well, my older one played soccer as well. And then she stopped. She went to gymnastics. She did amazing at gymnastics. And then she stopped. She wanted to come back to soccer. It's their decision. We need to let our kids enjoy it, you know. And even with my son's team now, you know, he played for LA Surf. He trains with my men's team now. He's very tall now, so... you know,
you're six.
You can't tell the difference. He's a 14-year-old now.
6'1", so.
Yes, and I told my son, the minute you're taller than me, we're gonna have a talk. I can't look at home. I can't look up to somebody. Like, no, but it's a process. It's a, as a parent, being able to control yourself. We need to also. From my experience with my son, okay, at 8 years old, my son quit soccer. He quit soccer because he was not enjoying it. And that's when I learned my lesson as well. Because not only that, you know, he wasn't enjoying it. And I kept talking to him, kept begging him to tell me what's wrong. One day he did. And one day I finally got through to him that he said, listen, Dad, you know, I don't want to disappoint you. That's why I don't want to quit. So he already feels the pressure of being my son. He already feels the pressure of impressing us. Our kids are super smart. Our kids, seven, it doesn't, trust me, they're so smart. They already feel, and that's one of the big issues with, you know, the mentoring the youth is they know everything. Mm-hmm. They want to impress us. They want to, you know, when we go to games, we need to understand the psychology of it, that when the coach is screaming, the kid is supposed to listen to the coach. And when a parent from outside screams, you know, the kid can only do one thing at a time. I tell him, Arma, go get me water and my phone. He comes back with one thing. Oh, I need to get water, or I need to get the phone. So imagine the kid is focused in the game already. And he or she hears the coach screaming, you know, and the screaming part is another issue, the way the coaches scream. But they're programmed, they're, you know, to listen to the coach. You got to listen, respect what they tell you. They have a game plan. And then the parent from outside that has nothing to do with soccer, you know, screams another thing. But we got to understand, when the parent is screaming with a loud voice, kids' brains, that puts fear in the kid. Because it's the parent, so the kid has to also listen to the parent, because they think, oh, they don't understand that it's, you know, he's just saying it out loud. He's not really getting mad. But when you're screaming it, nobody knows if you're mad or not. So, like, there, you already put your kid out of concentration. You already ruined his, you know. Now he's afraid. He has to listen to a parent as well. But now he's getting, you know, from both sides. So what did you do? You ruined the kid's game. That's why, like, a lot of the professionals, when we go to games, I try as much as, but when I say something, you know, I tell him one thing, short, sweet, you know, make a run, or whatever it is, but because I know what he's lacking, or, you know, and every coach I've worked with, that's worked with my son, I've always from the beginning told him, listen, you decide. You decide what you want to do, you decide how you want to approach it. If you need help, no problem, I'm there. If you need advice, I'm there. But it's yours. You decide. He's playing? Good. He's not playing? Good. I don't care. He needs to deserve to play, because daddy's not going to bring him up. Because I'm going to ruin his life if I do that right now. I'm going to, you know, that safety net, when our kids are young, yes, we're the safety net. When they get older, we're like, oh, do whatever, you know, like, we're not responsible. Well, if the kid is not prepared for life, you're going to ruin his life. So that's why, you know, my kid's been dropped from first teams. My kid's, he's never, you know, he's never been favored anywhere. Never. And I never allowed it. You know, if I realize that I have if the coach is kind of favoring him, I've told him, please don't. Please, you're ruining his life. And the kids under that, we shouldn't have this, you know, process of the youth shouldn't be about money, about the name, about the, you know, reputation. It shouldn't be. It should be kids having fun.
Yeah.
Kids having fun to play, kids enjoying to play, kids, let them be kids, man, you know, let them struggle. What, they're better than us? We struggled?
Yeah.
It's not. You know, it's part of, that's the truth. People might not like to hear it, but hey, it's the truth, I'm sorry. What? Why are they better than us? Let me put it this way. You know, they're not. Exactly. We struggled. I went to tournaments. I didn't have money to eat. I didn't have money to buy water. Yes, I'm not saying that we're not. I'm not complaining about it. But I went through it too. I survived. I'm here. I'm alive. You know. But that prepared me for life. That prepared me to be a better parent. To be able to understand things a certain way, you know, to be respectful, to be mindful of everything I have, you know, to actually appreciate the things I have. So,
yeah, it's definitely the culture.
But yeah, it's the same thing with my daughter's gymnastics as well. It's the same thing with my daughter's gymnastics. I have no idea about gymnastics. I have no idea. So when I go there, I'm like, I don't know. That's why my heart just pumps out, of course. It's just, you know, the girls, you know, you see it differently than boys. We got to understand the difference, how to raise both boys and girls. They can't be raised the same way, you know. And as a father, as a girl dad, you know, as strong as I am, I'm as weak as anybody else when it comes to them. So, like, we're also learning, and it's a process. But that's what life is about, learning. Go every day. Learn one thing a day, you know. Nobody knows everything. Mm-hmm. And you have to make mistakes to learn. People should not be afraid of making mistakes. And I say it, I will say it, and I will always say, don't be afraid of making mistakes. I tell my kids, You're supposed to make a mistake, because if you make a mistake and you learn from the mistake, it's not a mistake anymore. It's a life lesson. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget about that.
Yeah.
Nobody goes through, you know, you have. And I tell the, you know, and I tell also the coaches, you know, on my team, on my teams. Yes, I'm not saying be a loser. No. But learn from it. And there's one technique I use with my son, and I suggest people do it as well as a parent, you know, because if we're taking away the right to talk, we got to replace it with something, right? In life, it's always like that. So I suggest as a parent, you know, support him, take him to a game, support him after the game. Make your kid tell you the 5 good things he did, the 5 bad things he did. Mm-hmm. Okay? Tell him. Let him speak out loud. Let him analyze himself. Let him learn to analyze himself. And then you tell him your opinion, the 5 things he did, good thing, bad. The day you guys come to the same,
meet in the middle, on the
same lane, the day your both opinions are the same, meet in the middle, that's going to be a day where he's moving forward. But it's going to be like this. Yeah. But let them analyze themselves. Don't be the critic. You don't know what you're talking about. 80% don't know what they're talking about. They're criticizing the game. Oh, you didn't shoot. You didn't. This is a team sport. You know? It's not about your ego. It's about the kid, man. Put yourself out of it. You know, let your kid become his own man. Everybody has their own lane. We can't compare them to, you know, like, I have relatives that compare their kids to me.
Wow.
That, oh, you did this. You should do this. No. You're found his way. Everybody has their own path. They will find their way. Don't be afraid. They will find their way.
I mean, and that's one of the reasons why I love doing this podcast, is because it gives everybody the opportunity to share their different experience, because I have yet to hear anybody tell me the exact same story more than once about how they were able to go collegiate or professional or whatever it was that they did. And nobody's experience has ever been the same. They've had different struggles in life. They've had different opportunities. Everything has been different.
Nobody will
and
repeat.
So it's always great to hear everybody's individual stories and, you know, what they were able to do and what they learned and what they want to share with the youth players of today and the parents of those players, because it's all, some of it is repetitive information, because some of it is information that they're like, this is what we need to change in youth soccer today. And a lot of what I've heard is just the younger ages, like you've said, we're putting too much pressure on kids at younger ages, and those are the stages where they need to just learn to love the sport. And yeah.
Develop.
And it's hard to develop. Like, I played piano when I was little, and I hated it. I didn't like doing it, but I did it the longest out of all of my siblings, and I didn't find, like, a passion for it. But now, as, like, even in my later teen years and early 20s, I was always kind of like, I kind of wish I had some sort of instance that, like, made me want to feel passionate about it, because now I'm like, man, I really wish I could just sit down at a piano and play, but I can't read music. I play by ear.
I feel like you were forced.
Yeah,
sometimes.
And so you want to be able to develop a passion for whatever it is, whether it's soccer, whatever sport it is, gymnastics.
Yes.
If a kid doesn't love it, they're not going to want to do it long term. I mean, they might do it long term because they have to, but they might not do it long term because they don't feel that same. I mean, I've seen tons of players now that have that passion. They're out with a soccer ball in their yard on their own, and they've developed the love for the game. And those are the kids that I feel like they're trying to do whatever they can to play professionally or collegiately or whatever it is. And so that's the type of passion that the players need to have.
They have to be held responsible. There's the development of a kid. We need to understand, some kids develop until they're 14. There's kids that develop after 14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's a difference. Parents think that just because at 13, 14, the kid is not as good as others, they think that, oh, that's it. Like, he has no future. It takes him here, You know, that's why I say we don't own our kids, man.
Yeah.
Let them do what they want. Let them find their way. Because God has a plan for everybody. And we've gotten too far away from it. The belief that God creates everybody equally, but creates everybody, gives them their mission. And, you know, we're too controlling. We wanna dictate a lot. We're dictating. Just because we were dictated, it doesn't mean we have to dictate our own. You know, it's not. We need to move forward. We need to learn find the balance. Find the balance that you're not controlling your kids. You don't own your kids, man. Mm-hmm. God owns everybody. We're all God's children. And we need to understand that. That we're just blessed to, you know, be blessed with our kids, to be given the opportunity to be, you know, my kids' as parents. Mm-hmm. So, like, we need to let them find their way. Find their passion, find their, you know, just be supportive. That's all you need to do. Be supportive. They will find their way. You know, and this is the first stage of their development. Yep. But when they get to their teen years, they need to be held responsible. Let them struggle. Let them walk to get whatever they want.
Yeah. I've still seen kids, you know, have their parents a water bottle or carry their backpack to the field. It's like, just the little things. Just let him carry his own bag to the field.
That's you know, a sore shot subject.
It still happens. Yeah. You know, let them do that. And I mean, I have some people whose kids, and it's a running joke with them where they make their kids responsible for their own stuff. And so after a practice or a game, one of their kids' things always gets left and we end up picking it up. And so we'll, you know, send a picture out to the team. Whose is this? Like, if it doesn't have a name on it, and they're like, oh, it's ours. Because, you know, they're trying to instill that responsibility.
Yeah. They need to be punished. Kids, they need to be punished. Not punished, beat them up. You know? Hold them accountable. Hold them accountable. I tell my son, you know, if you didn't bring water,
you're not drinking water. Stanleys and Yetis and Hydro Flasks. We haven't had to buy a water bottle in a really long time because sometimes people don't even claim those things. And those are expensive, guys. I mean, I sold some at a yard sale one time because we just had this collection of random water bottles that nobody ever claimed, that we would pick up after games and practices. And again, nobody ever claimed them. And so we just had them in our garage forever. And we, you know, wash them out and we sell them or whatever. We use some of them. And I mean, whatever. Well, I mean,
you're doing the right thing. I can tell you, you're doing the right thing. But you're doing the right thing. Well, if they're not responsible enough, once we give them, twice we give them, it's because they don't want to think for themselves. It's because they know mom or dad will think for them. Well, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
I'm done with that. I learned my lesson, so my son knows he's responsible now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's definitely...
Think for yourself. You know, I always say, use that thing on your shoulders.
Yeah. So really quick, because I know you've got to go, tell them, just so the listeners can hear, what was your experience winning the MLS Cup final? What would you, just a throwback, I mean, it was, you know, it's been, I don't know, 15 years, it's been a while.
This is...
I mean, you've got your ring right there, I mean... that's awesome, it's got the ring.
I wear this now.
I mean...
Oh yeah! It's got the Real and it's got the 09. The teams we beat. Awesome. And I always tell the story. And I always, I remember the moment I realized I'm a professional is the moment we were walking out at the Seattle Stadium for the start of the game, and being an Adidas athlete, being in the Adidas league. For the final, you got all the, like, brand new cleats that nobody has them yet. So we're in line. I'm standing in line, you know, focused, head down, trying to, you know, stay concentrated. And looking at all the cleats, everybody almost has similar cleats, you know. And then I looked to my right and I saw these cleats that are Adidas, but no, it doesn't exist. And it was David Beckham with his white and gold cleats. So, and that was the moment, you know, when I looked up and I saw Beckham with his haircut and, you know, the whole nine yards. And that's like, I get chills now to actually realize, holy moly, I'm walking into a stadium with 80 something thousand people. MLS Cup final. You say it, when you're playing, when you're in it, you're like a robot. You're in it. You're focused. You know, it's a game. But that moment, when I realized, wow, like, I know David Beckham. I played David Beckham on computers. Now I'm actually about to walk on the field with him. And I played against him before. But, you know, to have a memory of it, it was that moment that I was like, wow, I made it.
Yeah.
I made it. You know, and that feeling, the team we had, you know, and it was a little bittersweet for me because I had signed to Denmark already, so I was going to go in the summer, and again, we go back to God's plan, you know, things didn't work out, but I already had my contract, so like in January, I was moving already, so like I wasn't staying at Salt Lake. But I wanted to leave in the summer, and it didn't work out for me to leave. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. I stayed, and we won MLS Cup. So, it was one of the biggest accomplishments of my career, being on that field. And I had an injury as well. I played with torn hamstrings. So, like, once we got into the playoffs, there was no way, even with one leg, I was going to be on the field. You know, there's no way I was going to complain about a hamstring or this or this, not to be on the field, you know. So, that experience was, and then coming back to Utah, when we came back, the flight back, everything was just unreal. But going through the city, the parade.
I was at the airport.
The airport, arriving at the airport, and, you know, like, I get chills, I still get chills, you know, remembering just going through people, and it wasn't finishing, you know, there's so many people there, you know, singing, the airport, I don't think that, Utah airport probably hadn't seen that in, what, many years, no other sport there, that's why, you know. So being the first team, I believe it was what, 40 years that a professional team had won a championship in Utah. 30 years, Jazz, when?
Yeah, it's, I don't even know. I mean, I probably wasn't even born the last time they won. It was a long time ago.
So,
yeah.
Being with the team, you know, Dave Checkitz with being the owner, you know, that he was, he was a role model for me, you know, being a team owner, you know, and having the team with Jason Christ being the coach, that was the best thing that could have happened in my life, having an actual, you know, best striker in U.S. history be your coach and being a striker, being a forward, you know, that's where I learned how to play soccer. You know, because the work we put in, the work he put in, the, you know, the coaching staff, everybody was just, you know, now thinking back makes me want to play again. I hadn't, you know, had that feeling for a long time, but it was a blessing that I got to, you know, experience. And it's something, it's a life lesson for me to always cherish it, to know that at least I did something good. You know, I represented, we represented Utah, you know, the people of Utah deserved it, you know, it's my second home, so it's, for me, it's a, and, you know, coming back after going to Europe was just, you know, it ended in a sad way, but everything happens for a reason, you know, and it brought people in my life to, you know, to learn my lessons, to learn that, you know, there could be a club that was the best club in the world and it could be run down. So it's sad to see, but I'm glad, you know, what they're doing today. RSL, I follow them, you know, and it's RSL is going to be mine always. You know, the RSL is never going to get out of me. You know, I was part of that family that we had, you know, with Nikki and Kyle and Javi and, you know, those guys with Borchi, Olave. These are all role models for me. You know, these are guys that were forever attached by this.
Yeah, so, and it's
and Jason at the coaching staff.
He's coming back for, I think he's going to be part of like the academy of something. So
I saw that
on his way back here.
Jason needs to be in soccer. Jason needs to be in soccer, man. He's too valuable. He's too valuable for soccer. He's too valuable for youth soccer. He's too valuable for. We need more Jasons. We need more Jasons because he's God gave me the opportunity to work with somebody like Jason to, you know, form me into the striker I am today, you know. And I learned many things from him, being a striker. How to even shoot. He had his signature shot where his foot just, you know, straight, hard shot. And I remember him teaching me that. So, like, being a, you know, 22-year-old, 23-year-old professional, that's when you learn. That's when you start learning. And I learned a lot from him. So he's always somebody I have a lot of respect for. And, you know, I looked up to him. Yeah. So, and coming back to Utah is it's my second home. I can always, and whenever I come back, you know, to Utah, I can breathe. I feel at home. You know, the people of Utah, even how many years has passed? 14, 13, 14. My math teacher wasn't really that, you know. But you know, when I come back to Utah, even I get surprised people at the airport that recognize, you know, oh, you're a this, you're, I'm like, that's what we live for, and that was the experience of a lifetime. And you know, now it's my duty to, you know, create the next generals of this world.
Yeah, pass on your knowledge
to help create more leaders. Yes, we have too many scared people, and it's my duty. I feel it's my duty. God gave me the opportunity to be a leader, to lead now, but I got to lead by example. Yeah.
And help create the good a good soccer culture for this country. So yes. It definitely needs that.
Good men. First, good men and women. Yes, we need good kids, good men. You know, good women, good young adults first, and then whether they want to play soccer, that's up to them. That's you know, that's theirs. But we need to give the kids the confidence that they're loved. They're take the pressure off of them. Let them do what they want. Let them smile. If you know you're a parent, you go to a game. If your kid is not smiling playing, you have an issue.
Yeah. It's always. I mean, even being a keeper mom, when I see my son, like, make a great save or whatever it is, and to see the joy on his face and the camaraderie with his teammates of whatever just happened, I mean, I'm glad that he's experiencing that because that's what he should be doing, you know? And obviously...
They need to be told that they do great.
Obviously, with him being the bully as well, when he gets scored on, you know, he gets upset, but I don't try and make excuses for him. Like, obviously, I go, oh, if he would have just done this, and I, you know, whatever. But I'm not going to tear him down and, like, let him live on that. You know, we need to learn from.
Let him know. He knows. They know. Trust me.
Yeah, just let him know. You know, we learn from that, and we move on. And so that's why it's, you know, been great to be able to see. Yeah.
Short memory. They have to have the short memory.
Also, be a goldfish.
Yeah. So, hey, be a goldfish.
Yep.
Be a goldfish.
Anyway, do you have anything else that you want to share today? I mean, we could probably go on forever. I always say that. Like, whenever I get talking soccer with somebody, I could talk for hours with people. And I know...
No, the only thing I can say is thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing what you're doing. It's... We need people to step up. We need people not to be afraid. Men, women, please step up. Don't be afraid. You know, what you're doing is amazing. You know, we all have our mission on earth, and we all, if we try to change one life at a time, we've accomplished it. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for having me. Thanks for getting in touch. Mm-hmm. You know, tell Justice, everybody there, you know, hello. Tell them to keep going. Tell them to stick to your values. Stick to your, in this sport, in this business, you know, do what you believe in. It'll pay off. It will pay off. And I know it will pay off, you know, because, you know, good people, the God always gives them, you know, opens the doors. So don't get discouraged. Continue. And yeah. And hopefully, you know, we could talk later on.
For sure. Another time. I'd love to have you back on and hearing about any new things that come out with you and your club in California.
Yes.
But for those that are listening, I will link Yura's contact information on his socials for, you know, if you want to see his Instagram account to be able to see what he's up to, his Lions United. If your app that you're doing is yes. out, send me the information and I will definitely
it is.
Share it. And that way people yes. that want to be able yes. to, I know a lot of youth players or those collegiate players that want to be able to be, I guess, exposed, have more exposure for their careers. Yes. That would be an awesome yes. opportunity.
This is not for the professionals. This is
yeah.
for the youth.
Yeah, for
definitely. It's foothunters.com.
Yeah, so I'll definitely link that and share that.
So we'll put it, we'll send you
so
the links.
Thank you so much for coming on. This has Perfect. Been great, and hope to have you on again, thank obviously, you. In the future, and tell your family hi as well.
Definitely.
But, yeah, thanks for coming.
I will. You too. You as well. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for kicking it with me, and have a great day. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at @kickitwithkatiepodcast_between all the words. You can reach out to me with questions at kickitwithkatiepod@gmail.com. I also have a feature with SpeakPipe where you can leave me your own voicemail message if you want to be featured on the podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.